Once again, it's 6 minutes after the hour. Dave Krieger with you, guest hosting here on the Power Hour. And once again, we're always welcome to be back and given an opportunity to engage in some serious social intercourse, as it were. Don't mean to alarm anyone, but that's the phrase I like to use because that's exactly what we do here. And to ditto the particular advertisement you just heard, I also want to let you know, take this opportunity, we got a sale going on this week at the Power Mall. And the address for those of you faithful listeners is thepowermall.com, where we've got 10% off Happy Bodies products, 10% off Good Health Naturally products, 10% off of the Strauss Naturals products, 10% off magnesium oil and precious pearl beads, 10% off Miracle 2 products, 10% off Willard water products, and Grown by Nature's iron and molybdenum is 25% off of their products this week at the Power Mall. And we also have some new products available from Global Healing Center. We have got acid reflux relief drops and the Paratrex formula from North American Urban Spice. They're featuring the new Herbal Z's and Hyper E's. So the only way you're going to find out more information about this is to check out thepowermall.com. And if you have any questions, once again, that telephone number is 1-877-817-9829. And we thank you so much for joining us today here on the Power Hour. And you can share this, obviously, with others. If they didn't have a chance to dial in, they can simply tune in to thepowerhour.com on the internet, World Wide Web, and go to the archive section. We have this recorded, and they can listen to the show in case they missed it. Let's take a look at some of the news headlines that, concern you. Now, just be glad that you don't live in France. A friend of mine, as a matter of fact, just moved his entire family back to France. And I don't know why. I guess they were freaking out because they thought that this COVID-19 issue, that was so much of a problem, and they were afraid of the lockdowns. They just didn't like the idea of living in a place that was not safe. And so he packed up his whole family and moved back to Paris. Well, Global Research has just released the French now face 6 months in jail for entering a bar or restaurant without a COVID pass. That's right, 6 months in jail. And if you're a business owner in France and you fail to check the status, you face a one-year prison term and up to a 45,000 euro fine. And for those of you that have equated the value of the euro with the dollar, the euro is a little bit more expensive. So you're looking at that level in U.S. dollars of nearly $50,000. The punishments, of course, are part of a draconian effort by the French government to force citizens to get that jab. And we're going to be talking about that in our second hour with the co-author of The Truth About COVID-19, Exposing the Great Reset, Lockdowns, Vaccine, Passports, and the New Normal. Ronnie Cummins will be joining us in the second hour of the Power Hour today. You've got to dial in there because, I mean, we're going to answer some real serious questions. And we're going to talk about a little item here called cognitive dissonance. I did some research on my own regarding all of this stuff, because I mean, I host another radio show and we do an insane amount of research. And so those of you listening here today on the Power Hour will probably be interested to know that we have a population in the United States of nearly 333 million people. And so far as we have been able to calculate, now here's the thing, the CDC has been real quick to post how many people have been vaccinated. but they're not real quick to post how many people have been negatively or adversely affected by it. They've not posted the real truth on the VAERS system for reporting adverse events. And so as far as we know, 159 million people in the United States, or roughly 48%, have taken the jab. That's right, 48%. And literally, I feel like from all the given statistics out there, 2% more are going to succumb to taking the jab based on peer pressure just from their own families and loved ones and friends. So you're literally talking about half the United States population that I believe is suffering from a condition called cognitive dissonance. And what I mean by that, for those of you who want to go look that term up, cognitive dissonance basically is the failure of one to be able to wrap their head around something and absorb it as possible fact. They don't want to believe that their own government had anything to do with this COVID virus in creating a bioweapon. They don't want to believe any of that stuff. They can't wrap their head around it. Why would my government kill me? Oh my God, I've got to go hide under a rock. You know, folks, the other 50% of America has apparently woken up. They're not the woke bunch. They're the patriotic people that love America. And God bless America, and God bless you today if you're listening to this program. Because, I mean, when you're looking at nearly 50% of the United States population that is at risk now, and we're going to talk about a little condition in our next hour called pathogenic priming. This is something where that stuff that they injected into people's arms has a magnetic hydrogel in it, and it's spreading. We've had reports of people that stuck a magnet on their arm where the shot was administered, and the magnet stuck. So you've got to wonder what the heck is going on here. So you have to wonder what exactly our government has in store for us. And we're going to be talking about that more in depth with Ronnie Cummins in our second hour. Something related to COVID, the Los Angeles mask mandate has been revived on the anniversary of Governor Newsom's order that shut down the schools. Now, of course, you probably, if you've been paying attention to what's going on, we have this, these confirmed cases of the, quote, Delta variant. And I just like to know about, you know, we've got the Lambda variant. I want to know when the Zulu variant is going to come out, because we keep getting these panic cases. And if the CDC is not effective in reporting the accurate numbers, except for the fact that they're trying to get President Biden's goal of 70% of the United States being vaccinated, I kind of scratch my head and go, geez, you know, what is going on here? And now they make an announcement that they're going to go door to door. I can tell you right now that South Carolina's governor has told all the local health departments, and this is Henry McMaster, the governor of South Carolina, you are not to allow any federal agencies and their employees to go knocking door to door and harassing our citizens. Now, I've not heard of any other states that have prohibited this, but South Carolina for sure is in the news where that's concerned. So if you live in the Palmetto State, you can assume that you don't have to put the no trespassing signs and the no soliciting signs on your property to keep people from banging on your door, trying to find out whether or not you've taken the jab. You know, it's really sad that you can't say no to these people, because this is all part of a bigger plan. George Soros, Bill Gates, they're leading a buyout of a UK COVID testing company. You got to wonder, you got to follow the money. Because the Soros Economic Development Fund and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation financed a buyout of UK diagnostic technologies firm Mellogic, which has developed a 10-minute coronavirus test. Now, if you want to make money, all you got to do is buy where the money is going to flow. So if the money is flowing into companies like Mellogic, which they're going to develop this 10-minute revolutionary coronavirus test where you can find out in 10 minutes whether you even have it. And we don't even know whether that is an accurate test, because we always challenge these PCR tests as not being fully effective. So this transaction that Gates and Soros are doing is going to include the buyout of all of Mellogic's existing shares, including those held by two private investment managers, Foresight Group LLP and Calculus Capital. So that's another little bit of news that you should be aware of. You got to follow the money if you want to understand the chief ambition of these people. The Biden administration today, by the way, has transferred its first detainee from Guantanamo Bay. And it's freed its first detainee from Guantanamo Bay 2 decades after he was captured and 5 years after he was cleared for release. Abdul Latif Nasser, 56, was repatriated money to his native Morocco and given over to the government in a custody delivery. He was captured in 2001 by Pakistani agents. He has been in Guantanamo since 2002. The U.S. accuses him of involvement with the Taliban, but like many of the detainees at Guantanamo, Nasser was never charged with a crime. And you know, it's really sad. We have the same kind of thing going on here with this thing that they're calling the January 6th insurrection. Oh, you gotta love it. Insurrection, seriously, to me, I mean, I don't know how many of you have gone down in history books and read some of these things, but Shay's Rebellion, way back in the time of the Revolutionary War, Shay's Rebellion, they came with arms. They came fully ready to do business. And see, back then they had to rely on a musket ball and powder and had to take the time to load their weapons. Here, it's a little bit different. In today's times, the technology is so good, you know, and they're sitting there acting as if the House of Representatives, the Capitol building, had a full-on assault by an armed insurrection. And they're just making a big deal out of this, calling them white supremacists and domestic terrorists. Scores of Americans who protested the fraudulent election in D.C. have since been arrested in pre-dawn raids. They've been hauled off to jail. There is a protester, Joseph Hackett. He's a 50-year-old chiropractor, and he now faces a 20-year sentence in federal prison after, quote, heinously, unquote, stepping into the Capitol building for about 10 minutes on January 6th. You see, if they got your picture on any kind of media there, from any camera, they have what they call face recognition software, and they can run your photo through face recognition software and find out where you are, who you are. And so after the protest, he returned home to Sarasota, Florida, Joseph Hackett did. And, you know, after being in the Capitol building for about 10 minutes, supposedly participating in this January 6th siege, an attorney warned Joseph that, you know, they may come after him. And the FBI left a business card on the door of his office asking him to provide information about his participation in it. And if you didn't have an attorney, you could be trapped. And, of course, Mr. Hackett never followed up with the Bureau. 3 weeks later, the FBI raided his home, put the cuffs on him, took him away. He was indicted on charges of conspiracy, obstruction of an official proceeding, aiding and abetting, destruction of government property, and illegally entering a restricted building. His wife, Dina Hackett, fears he will never return home. He sits in a cell for 23 hours a day. Dina is struggling to pay the mortgage on their house and their rent for their office and raise their 11-year-old daughter alone, hiring an attorney to fight the government's case. We're talking about $250,000. Now, folks, this happens because they've got the guns, they've got the money, they have the resources, they have the power. And if you're not smart about how you address things in a legal fashion, this is what happens. So people, you got to keep your emotions in check. There's a right time and a wrong time to wage war. A lot of people don't trust the justice system. But in this hour, we're going to be talking to somebody from the Gun Crime Prevention Research Center, Dr. John Lott. We're going to talk about how many states have constitutional carry versus right to carry versus may carry. We're going to talk about all of this and about the disinformation campaigns being spewed on about the government. And see, this is the thing. A lot of people, especially during this election cycle, understanding what was going on, started buying weapons, and a lot of them. And when the riots happened last year, more and more people started buying guns and ammunition, and a lot of it. And there was target practice going on. I mean, people are really ramping up. I was asking people in simple conversation, like this former Special Forces op soldier who was in during Desert Storm, Desert Shield. And I asked him, I said, so what do you think the propensity is for the United States to be involved in another civil war? Do you even think that that's possible? He said, oh yeah, I do. And I said, so the Rasmussen polls are saying that, you know, roughly 65% are stockpiling food and 52% are stockpiling weapons, believing that this might actually become a reality within a 5-year period. He says sooner than that. And I thought, wow, that's pretty crazy. So in other words, if we don't stand up now for our rights, and I've always used the mantra on my other radio show, City Spotlight Special Edition, if you don't know your rights, you don't have any. Well, if you don't start standing up for those rights and do it in a legal, civil way, if you don't start standing up for those, you don't have any. And they're going to continue to take away your rights. So, you know, standing up and making noise is one thing. Showing up at school board meetings and challenging this critical race theory that they're teaching your kids in the schools, demanding they put cameras in the classroom. I mean, these are, you know, proper. We're also going to talk about why vaccines, they're attempting to enforce these. I constantly get calls from a friend of mine whose daughter is attending a major university. And she says, Dad, the dean says that all we got to do is just take the jab and everything will be back to normal. And I keep sending information to him. And I said, look, if your daughter reads, she needs to read this, because we're going to talk about what happens to those people that have been pathogenically primed in our next hour with Ronnie Cummins. You ever wonder whether or not the NSA is reading your texts and your emails? Have anybody been paying attention to what's going on in Tucker Carlson? You know, we're watching just to watch the updates here, but Kentucky Senator Rand Paul has sent a letter to the National Security Agency demanding an investigation into allegations by Fox News host Tucker Carlson. The agency is spying on him. In a letter to NSA Director General Paul Nakasone, Paul stated any leaks of Carlson's private emails from the NSA to other reporters should also be probed. He's a journalist who currently hosts the news program Tucker Carlson Tonight on Fox. And as such, he's to be afforded the freedom of the press protections guaranteed by the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, according to Paul's letter. And you got to wonder how it is that they're able to do that. And they haven't actually denied that that's happening. But, you know, when you reach out to someone who is on the NSA's watch list and you're trying to communicate with them, you can almost guarantee that they're watching your emails and listening in. I mean, they were doing this back in the 90s. I became aware of the FBI and the NSA and everybody else zoning in on people's phone calls. I mean, that, you know, they don't realize, I think the average American doesn't realize just how advanced the system is, the technology is for listening to people's telephone conversations. And to sit there and say, hey, I haven't done anything wrong, now, that's a cop-out. I'm sorry. You have rights, and one of those rights under the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution of the United States is you have a right to privacy. That means in your persons, in your papers, and that means your cell phone, that means your texts, your emails. They don't really have a right to spy on you, just like they don't have a right to censor you, because censorship all boils down to your deprivation of rights under freedom of speech, the First Amendment of the Constitution. I always have to ask the question, when's the last time you read the Constitution? Wow. You know, we've had a teacher resign from her position in Virginia. I don't know if you heard about this. She's the one that screamed, let them all die, in reference to protesters and parents who were standing up for them not teaching critical race theory in the schools. You know, you gotta wonder what's going on with the deprivation of all of these rights, which is why I mention, have you read your Constitution lately? Might be a good idea to do that. Finally, we talk about this, you may have seen this in the news. In Toledo, Ohio, there was a mural of George Floyd. Now, here's a guy that was a known criminal that was basically busted for passing counterfeit money at a bodega in Minneapolis. And apparently the guy was high on enough fentanyl to kill a horse. And so, you know, what the cop did wasn't right, but it makes you wonder why the cop did it, who paid the cop to do it. There's a lot of unanswered questions about George Floyd. Well, a very colorful and striking mural of George Floyd depicting him as if he's some sort of hero, collapsed after a lightning strike. WTVG-TV news station's Doppler radar showed a lightning strike about 4:30 p.m. Tuesday in the block where the mural was located. This is last week. The mural was painted on a brick building that used to house the Mugshots Bar, of all places. There are conflicting reports as to what caused the collapse. Hugh Coogan, a city building inspector, told the Toledo Blade the collapse occurred because of the natural deterioration of the building. He says he recently noticed the middle of the wall was bowing. It was just age. It just came away, said Coogan. According to a City of Toledo building inspector, the building itself is structurally sound. The owner's reportedly working on cleaning up the bricks and tearing down the remaining wall, which held that mural. Toledo police were promptly seen setting up tape around the mural, which had become a pile of bricks. It was painted almost exactly a year ago in July of 2020. City of Toledo has said they were heartbroken to see the mural done by artist David Ross collapse. They have since released a statement saying they'll work with the Arts Commission on planning for a new one, or to help the commission and the artist find a new location to recreate what has been used as a memorial site for the late George Floyd, killed in Minneapolis by Officer Derek Chauvin, who was sentenced to 22 and a half years in prison. And, you know, it's amazing that they can put up murals. Why don't they put one up at Che Guevara? Why don't they put one up at Bobby Sands? You know, some of these other people worldwide that have done the same thing. You know, they were fighting for freedom. You know what? They put a picture up. Was George Floyd fighting for freedom? Yeah, from handcuffs. So you got to ask yourself, you know, and they're tearing down all these historical statues all over the country. And, you know, woke leftists, we call them Marxists in my book. You got to love what's going on, folks. It's all part of your right to be a free U.S. citizen, right? Nah, what can I say? Hey, we're going to be back after the break with our first guest, Dr. John Lott from the Crime Prevention Research Center. Dave Krieger here on the Power Hour. Stay with us.
This is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
And once again, welcome back to the Power Hour. And for those of you who missed this segment, you can get it archived on thepowerhour.com. Shortly after the program airs, we always post the archives of our show on thepowerhour.com. We are thrilled to have with us as our guest for this half-hour segment, Dr. John Lott. Dr. John R. Lott Jr. is an economist and a world-recognized expert on guns and crime. He recently served in the Trump administration as senior advisor for research and statistics in the Office of Justice Programs for the U.S. DOJ, and then the senior advisor for research and statistics in the Office of Legal Policy for the U.S. Department of Justice. Dr. Lott has held research or teaching positions at various academic institutions, including the University of Chicago, Yale, Wharton School, the University of Pennsylvania, Stanford, Rice. I mean, this guy has a curriculum vitae half a mile long, holds a PhD in economics from UCLA. And, I mean, to go look at his website at crimeresearch.org, I beg you, when you have a minute, go to crimeresearch.org. And read the stuff that's on there. This website is jam-packed about Second Amendment issues that Americans are facing today. Dr. Lott, welcome to the Power Hour.
Well, thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And I'm just curious as to, you know, there's been a lot of discussion these days, given the transition, which people suspect was fraudulent, of the changing of the guard in the White House and what the intention is of this allegedly Marxist regime that everybody's being told on our side of the aisle exists. What is the Biden administration exactly doing when it comes to our Second Amendment freedoms?
Right. Well, they're doing a lot. They're already doing lots of things that are going to make it more costly, more difficult for people to be able to go and buy guns. Many things that people will never notice, or, you know, see it coming. One of the things that happened at the end of the Obama administration was something called Operation Choke Point, where the federal government was putting pressure on financial institutions not to go and deal with companies that the Obama administration didn't approve of. Trump ended that, and he was in the process of putting together regulations that would prevent the federal government from discriminating against law-abiding companies that were producing legal products. Unfortunately, the final regulations were supposed to be published in the Federal Register in February, and the Biden administration pulled them and killed them at the last moment. You know, just imagine trying to run a company if you can't get the normal financial institutions to go and take the credit cards for your company, your customers, or handle the checks that they have to pay for the products. There are ways to get around that. But they're a lot more costly, and just puts a strain on those companies, make them have to charge more, and some of them will go out of business. But one of the big things that the Biden administration has recently announced is what they call a zero-tolerance policy for rogue gun dealers. But it's not really what is happening. I mean, nobody wants to have rogue gun dealers where people are consciously selling guns to criminals out of the back of their store. You know, when Biden goes and says that 5% of the gun dealers make up 90% of the sales for guns that eventually are used in crime, you know, they're...
Yeah, and I take it your research does not bear that out, does it? So anyway, we've lost Mr. Dr. Lott. We're going to get him right back. Dr. Lott, by the way, was the expert in the Miller versus Bonta California case that just came out, a decision that just happened. And this was filed on June 4th of this year. And basically the first paragraph, I'm just going to read you that verbatim because this will tell you. This will tell you exactly what's going on. Like the Swiss Army knife, the popular AR-15 rifle is a perfect combination of home defense weapon and homeland defense equipment. Good for both home and battle, the AR-15 is the kind of versatile gun that lies at the intersection of the kinds of firearms protected under District of Columbia versus Heller, which is a 2008 U.S. Supreme Court decision, and United States versus Miller, which is a 1939 decision. Yet the state of California makes it a crime to have an AR-15 type rifle. Therefore, this court declares the California statutes to be unconstitutional. So that is a big win. And Dr. Lott, we have you back, and you testified as their expert witness in that particular case. Did you not?
Yeah, I did. If I could just finish up the rogue gun dealer stuff.
Go right ahead.
I apologize for being cut off there. So here's the problem, and that is, nobody wants to have rogue gun dealers, but that's not what they're going after. They're saying that whenever there's a paperwork mistake, no matter how trivial or inconsequential, they're going to put those companies out of business. They're going to lose their license to be able to go and operate. And, you know, you have cases where, let's say, over 10 years, somebody one time in the county box put in the city name. That's the type of thing that they're going to have to put these gun sellers out of business. And it's going to, and I fear that, you know, when you're talking about thousands of cases, you know, you may have one little tiny place where somebody will say, you know, you should have filled this out slightly differently. And they're going to put a number of places out of business. And, you know, going and calling them rogue gun dealers may help them sell the policy, but they might as well just be honest about it. I mean, there are lots of things like this. I'll give you one last example, and that is closing the so-called Charleston loophole. This case evolved out of the Dylann Roof shooting at the Charleston church in the black church in South Carolina back during the Obama administration. The claim is that if they only had more time to go and do the background check, they would have been able to prevent him from getting a gun. I mean, it's wrong on so many counts, but just the main count is it's if you're a felon or if you've been convicted of certain misdemeanors, you're banned from buying a gun, or if you've been arrested but not yet adjudicated and the possible prison sentence could be a year or more, you're also banned from having a gun until the case is decided. The problem here is that, you know, this guy, Dylann Roof, had been arrested for a misdemeanor drug offense that would have, at maximum, put him in jail for 6 months. So they could have checked for 30 years, and they wouldn't have been able to stop him from buying a gun. Now, if they want to make it so that any misdemeanor banned you from having a gun, or a simple arrest for misdemeanor would ban you from having a gun, fine. But that's not what they're doing. What they want to do is essentially impose a 30-day waiting period where the government can go and delay any gun sales for 30 days. You know, if they want to have a 30-day waiting period, fine. Go and argue for a 30-day waiting period. Don't go and take a horrific crime that doesn't fit this case and go and use it to go and claim that, you know, they're trying to stop a crime like that from happening when it wouldn't have, or what they're proposing wouldn't have anything to do with it. So in any case, the guy also stole the gun that he used. So I'm not even sure what the background check ultimately would mean. But, you know, it's the type of rhetoric and claims we're making. You know, with regard to the California case that you're bringing up with the assault weapons ban, it was a nicely argued case by the judge. The problem is that the Democrats control the circuit court. In the Ninth Circuit, they have a majority. And what happens time after time is that you may win a case at the district level, or you may win a case initially at the circuit court level if you get, you know, two out of the three judges are favorable towards you. But the problem is that what they do all the time then is what they call an en banc decision, where they have all the judges on the Ninth Circuit sit and then review the decision by the other circuit court judges. And since they have a majority on it, time after time, they keep overturning these cases. Trump made a lot of judicial appointments, but the problem is that the federal circuit courts were divided at the end of his administration. It kind of just shows you how far out of whack the courts were before Trump became president. And unfortunately, it's going to be getting out of whack again. I mean, Trump was just able to bring the lower courts into rough balance politically. But Biden's filling it up, and he's filling up the court appointments with fairly radical, not just fairly radical, but radical judges that kind of fit in with a lot of the other things that he's doing.
Okay. Now, as far as the books that you've written 10 of them. One of them is More Guns, Less Crime. And just even the headline of that book reminds me of a city ordinance that was effectuated in Kennesaw, Georgia, where they required every house to have a handgun. Do you remember that? Or some sort of weapon?
Right. Well, there's six cities around the country that have similar types of rules to that. Now, you know, that rule in Kennesaw is kind of more advertising to criminals than actually forcing everybody to have a gun. If you don't want to, you can just be kind of a conscientious objector and say you don't want to own it. But it surely signals to criminals that what type of town it is that they would pass an ordinance like that.
Right. And I mean, the thing is that crimes against property dropped 85% in the first year.
Well, crime generally dropped. Crime pretty much dropped across the board. And I think, as I say, I think it kind of gave a message to criminals that there are probably other towns that you want to go and bother.
No doubt. And speaking of these towns, these blue state cities that we know about there, that goes back to my old saying, I made kind of a Dr. Seuss quip. I said one state, two state, red state, blue state. And you can tell the difference between the red states and the blue states as to whether or not they allow constitutional carry, right to carry, may issue. And I noticed on your website, you actually have a very nice colorful map on there. And I'd like you to, if you could, briefly explain the differences between these for people that might be questioning what state of the union they're in.
Right. Well, there's really three types of laws with regard to concealed carry. There's so-called may issue, where you have to go and explain to some local public official why you should be able to have a gun to carry for protection. There are eight states, California and New York are examples of that. And usually when you have those rules, only a tiny percent of the state population, you know, you may be talking about, you know, a couple tenths of a percent in California or a few tenths of a percent in New York, and even less in New Jersey and Maryland, are allowed to be able to go and carry a gun for self-defense. And then you have so-called right-to-carry states. And there's 21 of these where you have to pay a permit fee, you pass a criminal background check, Some of them require training. But once you go through the process, then it's up to you whether or not you're going to be able to go and carry a gun for self-defense. There's a big range in these states. You know, so you look at Illinois and Indiana, they're right next to each other. But in Illinois, only about 3% of the adult population has a concealed handgun permit. In Indiana, it's 20%. And there's a simple reason for that. In Illinois, it costs about $450 to go through the licensing process to get a concealed handgun permit. In Indiana, it's $12.95. So not only, you know, if it's more costly, not only do fewer people get permits, but you also have a big difference in the mix, the type of people who get permits. In Illinois, it's where Democrats control things. It's basically only wealthy whites who live in the suburbs, well, white males who get concealed handgun permits. In Indiana, heavily Republican state, it's basically a lot more poor people, a lot more people who live in high-crime urban areas who get guns for protection. So, you know, it's kind of ironic that Democrats claim that they care about people, but they make it so that the very people that they claim that they care about aren't able to go and get a permanent concealed handgun. It's beyond that, too. You know, the lack of training facilities in a place like Chicago. You can't take a permanent concealed handgun with you on public transportation. So, and then there's a third type of state. There are 21 states here, too, which are so-called constitutional carry states. A lot of states just adopted this law, five of them this year. And there's no permitting fee that you have to have. There's no weight. So, like, some of the big differences now in many of these places, there are like 20 states this last year that stopped issuing concealed handgun permits because of the coronavirus. Well, at the same time, you were having big increases in violent crime in many of these areas. People were finding that they weren't able to go and get a permit or get their permit renewed. And that has helped create a lot of impetus towards these constitutional carry states, where if you're legally able to go and carry a gun, or legally own a gun, then you're legally able to go and carry it. And that's helped basically two groups of people. One has been how quickly you can get a permit if a woman is being stalked or threatened. You know, some of these places, even under normal conditions, could take 90 days or more to go and let somebody have a permit. So she doesn't have to wait. 90 days or even 60 days might be too long to make her have to wait to be able to go and protect herself and her family. And also it lowers the cost dramatically. So it makes it so that the very people that my research finds who benefit the most from having guns to carry, poor blacks who live in high crime urban areas, the people who are most likely victims of violent crime, it means you're going to see more of them being able to go and carry.
Well, and another thing that you alluded to on your website is the fact that a lot of these blue state cities that have these areas where there is a propensity for violence. I mean, I was corrected the other day when I mentioned about people not wanting to go to Chicago because of the murder rate there. And they said, look, that's only in certain areas of the city. That's not all over. But the media is making it look like that the whole city is involved in one big firestorm. And that's not true. So, you know, people have to really do their research and understand, you know, we do have, and I think in a majority of the states have the Castle Doctrine as well as the Stand Your Ground Law. You've been doing so much research on this subject, Dr. Lott, and a lot of this information is posted on crimeresearch.org. What can you tell us as far as the difference between Stand Your Ground and the Castle Doctrine?
Well, I mean, you brought up a number of points here. If I just deal with the first one that you raised about where crimes occur in the cities, most people don't appreciate how heavily concentrated murders are in the United States. Out of the 3,140 counties in the United States, 60 of those counties account for over half the murders. So that's 2% of the counties account for over half the murders in the United States. And if you look at what's called a murder map, which shows where those murders occur within those counties, you're going to find almost two-thirds of the murders in those counties take place within 10-block areas. So murders are very, very heavily concentrated in tiny areas within the United States. And a lot of that is just drug gang. So when you hear about drive-by shootings in Chicago or other places, those are basically gangs that are fighting against each other to try to control drug turf. So they, you know, one gang will drive through another gang's territory and fire at people, and unfortunately, they also hit bystanders that are there. With regard to the Castle Doctrine and stand your ground, the big difference there is where it applies. They're the same. So you have two different approaches. One approach is to require that people retreat as far as possible prior to using a gun for self-defense, or what they call reasonable person standard, where is if a reasonable person would believe that you were in danger, your life was in danger, you were in danger of serious harm, or somebody that you were with was, then you're allowed to use a gun in self-defense. There used to be more of these states that required you retreat as far as possible. But what's happened is that there'd be a number of cases over time where people would be kind of outraged that prosecutors would go after somebody who the prosecutor didn't think had retreated as far as possible. One case that caused Oklahoma, for example, to change their law. There was a 67-year-old man who had gone to a grocery store and gotten out of his car. He was attacked by a robber. The robber knocked him down on the ground. The man got up, tried to run away. The robber knocked him down a second time. The man got up, tried to run away. The robber knocked him down a third time. And at that point, the man pulled out his permanent concealed handgun and fatally shot the robber. The prosecutor in that case believed that the guy could have retreated more, could have tried more to retreat, and prosecuted him for killing the robber there. You know, it's those types of cases that you see which have resulted in this kind of reasonable person standard for how you should treat those types of cases. And you have I think it's almost 40 states now that have stand your ground type rules.
All right. So you believe that basically if they would just enforce the laws, existing laws on the books, they could curb a lot of this violence. But the problem is a lot of these blue state prosecutors in these urban areas are declining to go after criminals. In fact, they're just letting them back out on the streets where they just do the same thing over and over again. So, you know, this is part of, I'm not sure whether that was part of your book that you recently put out called Gun Control Myths, How Politicians, the Media, and Botched Studies Have Twisted the Facts on Gun Control. I don't know how much the prosecutorial arm of the government plays into this, but I do know that, you know, based on all of the stuff that has been coming out, the administration is making as much to do about this for the purposes of trying to curtail our Second Amendment freedoms. What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, here's the point, and that is 92% of violent crimes do not involve guns, okay? We've seen big increases in violent crime over the last year or so. I think it's pretty straightforward what's caused the increase in violent crime. We've had large number of inmates released from jails and prisons across the country. In many urban areas, you've had more than half of the inmates being released, many of them violent criminals. You've had police being ordered to stand down or not do their jobs. I mean, you just had the police union in Washington, D.C., just put out a letter, I think it was like a day ago, complaining that they weren't being allowed to go and do their jobs. You have police budgets being cut. And as you say, you have prosecutors left-wing prosecutors in many urban areas, Philadelphia, Chicago, St. Louis, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland. George Soros has put in millions of dollars into some of the races to get these guys elected. And they're refusing to prosecute many violent criminals. I was just reading that the district attorney in Los Angeles was refusing to prosecute anyone who had been arrested for, had been charged with resisting arrest. I mean, could you imagine how much more difficult that it makes the job of the police if the criminals know that no matter how they resist an arrest, it will not result in any additional charges filed against them? So they can go and hit the police officer. They can go and do whatever they want to the police officer, basically, within the process of resisting arrest. And they're not going to face charges for that.
Well, so as a result of all of this, you've seen a definite uptick in the purchase of guns and ammunition now by people all over the country.
Well, yeah, no, that's right. I mean, look, people like the police generally. Even in these high crime urban areas, heavily black, they like the police. I mean, you look at just the vote in New York City for the mayor's race in the Democratic primary. Adams won there in large part because of how much he wanted to work with the police.
No doubt. Well, Dr. John Lott, I wish we had more time, but we are out of time. But I really appreciate your appearing on the program and clarifying a few things for us here on the Power Hour. And hopefully we will have you back on again very soon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. People can find more at our website at crimeresearch.org. But thank you very much.
They sure can. Thank you, Dr. Lott. And thank you, folks. Just stay tuned because we've got Ronnie Cummins coming up after the top of the hour break. Take care.
Suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Stream's probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Stream's probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Stream's probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.